don't see anything without he shows up. It can be right in front of your face. Y'all remember whenever Jesus asked the disciples, he says, who do men say that I am? And they start saying, you know, Elijah and all these others, you know, Jeremiah and all that. But then Peter, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus told him, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter. He said, but my Father in heaven. They had been walking with him all this time. But he had a revelation because God in his mercy and grace revealed it to, what's his name? Peter. I had a hard time thinking this morning. To Peter of who he really is and was. Well, it's just like this, you know. The Bible talks about how that there's some people that even when good comes, they can't see it. That as good as right in front of their face, God has been so good to them, and they can't see it. All they see is the bad. All they see is the doom and the gloom and the complaining and the griping about everything that they don't see, but it's already right there. But how many knows that it's God's goodness and his love and his mercy and his grace that reveals things to us? Everybody don't see. Everybody don't hear. And I'm not talking about lost people. You know, in the study that we did about the sower sows the word, y'all remember one of the things that God said, right? That a willing heart makes a hearing ear. Everybody don't have a willing heart. Therefore, everybody, talking about Christians, does not have a hearing ear. But we do, and God has been so good and so merciful to us. The things that he's been speaking to us and the things that he's been saying to us, you know, I come in contact with people, you know, at the grocery store, different stuff, you know, like when you're out and about or whatever, family members and different thing, you know, and I'm like, the things that God has been showing me and revealing to me and making known to me and stuff, and then I see people that they're like, they're oblivious. They're just going about their everyday life, you know, going to work and ball games or whatever their thing is that they do. And they're like, they don't have a clue of anything that's going on. I'm not just talking about what you hear on the news. I'm talking about that God is doing and that God wants to do and different things like that. So God has been so merciful, and he's spoken things to us just like I told the Lord last night, I said, thank you, God, for the prophecies, you know, that you have made known. It's always been this way with me ever since I wouldn't say ever since I've been saved because I didn't know it to begin with. But God has always liked hooked me up with different people for different times and different seasons in my life. There's times that I'll be drawn to Kenneth Copeland. And like right now, not a bit. I can listen to him and it's like, nothing wrong with him. It's because this same thing may happen to you. You know what I'm saying? And you may get the idea, something's wrong with that preacher. Well, there's nothing wrong with the preacher more than likely. It's just God is not drawing you to that person because he's got something else that he needs for you to hear at the time. There's been times I've been drawn to Jensen Franklin, you know, like can't get enough of him. And then there's other times it's like, I listen to him, what is that? That's God. And one of the reasons why God will do that is because he knows you will value his word. Do you realize every Christian doesn't value God's word? But he says those that value his word, he says he that hears what will be given more. And he that don't, even what he seemingly has will be taken away. And so I just want to thank God this morning that he's been so good to us here at this church as individuals and as a body. The things that he's shown us and the word that he's brought to us and the truths that he's revealed to us because he knew we would value it. Amen. So I have something, let me back up just a little bit. Y'all know I've told y'all and showed y'all, you know, that God deals with me a lot with the music and things. I don't know why, he just does. And this morning, the same thing happened. Y'all remember the songs that I brought here when God was doing that, Sower Sows the Word? What are you laughing at, Monty? Some of them, a couple of them was a little crazy like, but he only spoke the chorus. He didn't speak the whole song. You know, how many knows God can speak one word to you out of a chapter and he's not telling you the whole chapter? He's just telling you the one. It's the same thing with a song or a phrase that somebody says or something. But anyway, same thing happened this morning. And so I looked it up. And what I was hearing was, God bless America. And about how he shed his grace on thee. That's all I heard. And the way I knew it was God is how that happens with me. The minute my eyes pop open, I hear that, and it's not me. I can even think something else, and I'm still hearing it. Why? because it's coming out of my spirit, man. It's not coming out of my head. So I went and I looked up some videos on it and the song and everything, and I found one that I felt like the Lord wanted me to bring this morning. So, Elizabeth, would you play it for us, please?
Spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife, who their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain
dream that sees beyond the years. Thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee.
That just about makes me cry. Why? I got some. I guess it was that. I think it stopped now. Kind of echoing up here. We've been talking about a lot about America and different things. This is out of my element, y'all. I'm like, I told Scotty this morning, this year God has did things with me that I didn't even know we would do, could do, or whatever. Y'all remember the Mavericks, right? The sunglasses. That was the weirdest thing that has ever happened to me. But during that whole time, it was like from the time it started, it's like the Holy Ghost or somebody was attached to my right side. Until that came to pass and I told y'all about it, then it was gone. And it's like, I told Scotty this morning, it's like, I have always loved America. I've never wanted to live anywhere else, you know. And probably most of my life taking it for granted, you know. When I was a kid, I remember, we lived in the projects, and my daddy bought me and my sister some roller skates for Christmas. So the projects we lived in, you know, was big projects, and they had the asphalt, you know, all the way around. And we'd get on them skates and we would just go, boy. We'd go all over and booming and bamming over here. I think my sister broke her arm twice, you know, different stuff. We're just being kids. There was no watch your kids because somebody's going to snatch them. Not that it didn't ever happen. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? That's like right now. I don't even want my grandkids playing in the front yard. Not because I'm scared where nobody's watching them. Just like when you look at my road, you can do it on your phone. It's like pedophile after convicted pedophile after convicted pedophile lives on my road. And I'm not ignorant of the devil. But now he has nothing on us. But y'all get what I'm saying, right? And I remember, you know, when getting on my bicycle, you know, when I was a kid, and I would just ride the thing all the way to town for miles and stay there all day. Nobody knows where I am, and nobody cares till they get supper time, unless I hadn't done something I was supposed to do. I would go to my grandparents, you know, and they lived up there on the mountain out in the country, you know, and me and one of the boys, neighbor boys, he's gone now, actually, committed suicide. We used to go up on another neighbor's land up there on the hill, and they would have big rows of hay. And we would get on the, climb up those bales of hay, and we would jump from one to another. Nobody would know where we was all day. We would just stay out there all day. Kids can't do that anymore because of the time that we live in and because things have become so evil. But the thing about it is, God has good plans for America. God wants to bring those times back. God has a message of hope for us this morning. When you can't turn on the TV hardly without you see the war, and you see this one has been kidnapped, you know, and these have been taken, you know, and all this other kind of stuff that is going on. And I mean, killing after killing after killing. You know, I mean, every morning I turn on the news to hear the weather, you know, just about in time to hear the weather. And just about every morning I hear something that somebody in Birmingham got shot and killed. Almost every single morning. And it did not used to be that way. But God's going to turn things around because God loves America. Amen. And one of the things that I told Scotty, it seems like the Bible says one of the definitions of grace is the divine favor of God upon the heart of man. There's a scripture, I don't know if it says it like this or if this is the Amplified because I read both, but it says that God, the hearts of kings is in the hand of God, and he turns it however he wishes. Do you realize when God wants to do something, all he's got to do is come upon you and stir something in you, and you are changed. You love what you didn't love, and you hate what you didn't hate. But it's like for me, it's like that is like that with me for America. I mean, I just want to get the flag and just hug it. I've never been like that before. Why? Because God has to have people that says and does things that he wants done in the earth. So if you got your Bible, let's look at 2 Chronicles here. Chapter 20. I've listened to the prophecies of the prophets that I normally listen to and some others. And yes, we're in some dark times, and yes, there's some darker times coming, but God has a plan, and it's good. And it's for hope, and it's for blessing. And the saying is true, no matter who says it. God is going to make America great again. Why? Because God used, this country was set up. People came over here that wanted separation of church and state. Too much government up in the churches and things, and they wanted to serve God with freedom, where there was not this, state-instituted religion. And so America was created because people loved God and wanted to worship and serve God in freedom. And God has used this country for years, you know, to bring blessing and prosperity to other nations and to other countries. But the main thing that God did with America, or that he has done before, is to preach the gospel. Out of the United States has been the most gospel preached of any other country in this world. And God wants to do that again, and he's going to do that again. But here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I didn't want to read this whole thing, but I feel I have to. So we're going to start in verse 1. And I told Beth the King James Version, but I started to read the Amplified, but let's go on with that. It says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, of this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazatamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Number one thing America needs to do. It says, and proclaimed a fast. Number two. Throughout all Judea and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Another key for America. He says, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, that rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of his great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. With you, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. I'm going to read this again because this is a key verse in here for my message this morning. He says, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord. Now, see, I told you, every time you turn on, you can't turn on the news without hearing about wars, rumors of wars, all kinds of things, riots, what is that they're doing now? The campuses of the colleges, you know, protesting, all this. They're outside Biden's house, wherever it was, Arizona, wherever it was, out there chanting. Then there's a caravan of 7,000 illegal immigrants headed this way, and you know what they're shouting? Biden! 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 They just love Biden. Of course they do. So why am I saying that? Because, listen, we are in perilous times, in case y'all have not noticed. I heard the other day, I watched a thing, I can't remember the senator's name right now, I saved it on my phone. But anyway, he has went and done his study on the border and how many's coming across a day and how many there was last year and the year before, you know, and all that and everything. That he said that now they are seeing about 7,800 illegal immigrants a day. Not a month. A day. And out of those, they are sending back about 230 a day. I mean, I can't do the math on that. But can you imagine in 1 week, 1 month, in a year, how many people? Listen, and it's just not illegal migrants from Mexico or Venezuela. Listen, I watched them. They was asking them, where are you from? India, where are you from? India, where are you from? India, where are you from? Iraq, where are you going? New York. It's not just those that are coming over here looking for a better life. Some of these people are MS-13. Some of them's gangbangers. Some of them are criminals. Some of them are murderers. Some of them are, I guess if they was in this country and you tested them, they would be put in a mental institution because they got mental problems, and there's 7,800 of them a day coming. And when you look, they on the streets of New York, they have put them up in the highest hotels until they are absolutely full. Now it's running over. They're sleeping in the streets, and they're taking over the police stations, which they should not let them in there at all, to sleep and use the bathroom. Listen, don't think it's not coming to us. Y'all not saying nothing. Just because we're a small town, they found one the other day that she was over here. I can't remember her name, but she was working in a, y'all know these, we have a lot of these around here, like they'll give you a house to live in if you take care of their chicken houses, you know. I think Miss Jackie does some of that or was doing it or whatever. Well, anyway, they found a girl that had come over, and she was over here with her, I think it was her sister, and she was working in that chicken farm. There was one years ago, she used to come to this church. She was here illegally using somebody else's Social Security number to work, but her three boys was born in this country. All this stuff is coming. All this stuff is here. And the enemy has done this, but God says he's not going to allow it. God's not done with America yet. Do you realize what all this means? Not good. Not good at all. In this day, it's not good. They've got these three different countries that's coming against them. When I'm reading this, don't be thinking about Jehoshaphat and all. Be thinking about America, because we've got countries that have sent their people over here to infiltrate our colleges, our schools, our workplaces. They're all in here. And I listened to the prophecy way before it was ever done, to where Kim says, he said, there's over here, he said, and they're itching for a new kind of war with America. He said, America, your enemies are within you. And that is exactly what they have done. But how many knows God never counterattacks the devil? Absolutely not. He never makes God do anything. God already had a plan before he ever worked his plan here in America. And he's going to take care of it. Let's read on here. But notice what he says. This guy is prophesying to Jehoshaphat and the people. And he says, hear me, O Judah, and you, this is Jehoshaphat, inhabitants of Jerusalem, or you could say America, because this is what God is saying to us, I believe, this morning. Believe in the Lord your God. What do we say we have faith for? Just our finances? Just for our family members to get saved? No, it's when I turn on the news. I laugh in the face of the devil, because God is going to counter everything you got. What you have got to do and what you plan to do is not going to happen. He says here, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Have faith in God. Listen to me, there's some people, they are in such despair. Before inflation and the things took place that has been taking place in America in the last couple years, and especially this year, they cannot pay their bills. And they are becoming homeless with their kids. And they are so hopeless. Because they can't see, and it's not because they're lazy. Sandy, I think you brought it up a few months ago about the cost of food, that it was just bothering you how much things was costing nowadays, that just a year or two ago they did not cost as much. Well, there's some people that has been living from day to day and week to week, and they can't pay that stuff anymore, and they're hopeless. But how many knows, God, in faith there's always hope. Why? Because what? Faith is a hopeful, confident expectation in God. And he says, believe in the Lord your God. Notice what he says. So shall you be established. Believe in his prophets. So shall you prosper. Now, I've been on the prophets for seven things here. The God that never changes. He never does. Everything that has happened in now, it already has been somewhere else in the Word. You understand me? History repeats itself. That's why we should be learning from it. And he goes on and he says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Now, I've heard most people, they emphasize this part. This is not the emphasis of my part. And that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, as to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And it does. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil, it was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Berachah unto this day. Let me see, 29 is where I got to go to, 27. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. They didn't have joy before. They were scared. Then they began to believe in God, and look what he's done. He's brought joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. God will make America rejoice. Y'all remember the prophecy where he said that all this that's happening right now, I mean, he had me bring it right before all these others got involved. Y'all remember the prophecy where he said Israel and America and Western nations will put your fist down on Turkey, put your fist down on Syria, put your fist down on Iran. Y'all remember that in Russia? That's exactly what's going to happen. It's not what we're seeing yet, but that is exactly what's going to happen. Why did God bring that to us? One of the things we've talked about, why God uses prophecy and has prophets, modern day prophets today, the fivefold ministry, they have not been done away with. And God is, I'm telling you, God is raising up the ministry of the prophets to use them right now like he has not been for a season. And one of the reasons why God raises up the prophets is because prophets doesn't see like us. Prophets, they see years down the road. Read Isaiah, read Jeremiah, read Ezekiel. All of those prophets that God used to use, and he still has them today. They see years down the road, then they come back and they tell us. Why do they tell us? Because how does faith come? By hearing. Oh, just to show us the goodness and the grace and the mercifulness of God. That God would hook us up and allow us to hear what's coming and then what's happening now, but what's coming for later. Amen? And he goes on there and he says, we read 27, didn't we? Yeah. 28, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Now, my point in reading all of that is to see this story. And when you look at it, it is the same thing as like America today and Israel and other places. We've got these enemies that are coming after us. In case y'all hadn't noticed, they've done bombed our embassies and stuff 48 times. Whether we've got soldiers that has head injuries and different injuries from where they bombed us, and we shot a couple of things, blowed up an empty warehouse. Woo-hoo! You know. Just kind of like, you know, just let them know we're here or whatever. But anyway, God is going to turn this thing around, because what has happened is the devil has tried to make history come to pass before its time without God. And it's not time for all this yet. Yes, it's the time for war. Because listen to me. If you break in my house and you cut the head off of my kid and you kill my husband, do you not think I'm going to hunt you day and night? The Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. He says there's a time for war. How many knows there is? Now, there's some people, you know, I don't know where they live or what Bible they read, you know, that they're kind of like, there's never should be a time for war. God's a God of peace. Read your Bible. These times God sent them to their enemies to take them out, to remove. One of the reasons why King Saul got in trouble is because he did not slaughter completely the Amalekites. Why? Because God knew if he didn't, they're going to come back to bite you in the end. And that is exactly what happened. But had he obeyed God like God said for him to, and some people, they read that stuff and hear that, and they're like, God is a killer. No, he's not. God gives everybody a chance to repent. God gives everybody a chance, an opportunity. But he knows if you'll change or you won't. That's like the children of Israel. 10 times he tried to get them to repent and follow him and do what he said. They wouldn't then. Then he changed it. Okay, we're going to do this. Oh, they murmured, they complained. We're not going to do what God said. We're not going up. After 10 times, do you know God knew they wouldn't change? So therefore then came the judgment. After God was so merciful that 10 different times he tried to get them to trust him and follow him and believe him and obey him for their good. And when he realized they will not, he said, okay, that's it. No more of y'all. Y'all gonna wander out here in this wilderness for 40 years until all y'all older that would not obey me are gone. And that was their judgment. Y'all know the story of Moses. After all he had done when he disobeyed God, he didn't get to go and share in the land with them. Why? Because God is a God of justice and he never changes. His justice and his righteousness and his truth, he never changes that for anybody. Well, just like with America and all that's going on, God knows exactly the hearts. And one of the prophecies that I heard, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. What is going on in America and nations right now? It looks bad, but I'm telling you, God said it's good. And this is why it's good. When you got bad apples on a tree and you shake the tree, what's the first one that falls off? That's what he's doing. God is shaking the trees of the nations right now. And I heard the prophecy where Kim had said that he stood over a table in the spirit realm where Putin and Iran and some others had come into an agreement and signed an agreement, and we did not know what was going on, and it was not for our good. And he said, I can't say it right now, he said, or I'll be dead by next week. Listen, this is a man that the FBI used him as an informant to inform them of the plans of the enemy. And some would say, oh, God, don't. But you better read your Bible. Who was it, Elijah? Elijah or Elisha one, I can't remember right now. But anyway, he would tell them, God would show him, and he would reveal it to the king. They'll go over there, they're going to be over there, go over here. Y'all remember that? To the point to where the other king, he said, there's got to be somebody in here that's telling him our plans. And the guy rose up and he said, there is, it's God. It's that prophet over there, Elijah or whichever one that it was. It's the prophet that is telling him of our plans. That's exactly what God is doing. Why? Because God is so good. God is so gracious. He is so merciful that he would reveal these things to us. Why? So we can, number one, get in agreement with the prophets and prosper. Ain't that what we just read? He said, trust in God, hope in God, believe in God. We would say, have faith in God, right? Mark 11, 23, 24. Have faith in God. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Somebody's got to be saying it for the people to hear it. Then once the people hear it, they must mix faith with it, believe it, and speak it. Why? Everybody else has got to hear it. But sad to say, we've had a bunch of milquetoasty asleep Christians. Thank you, Monty. The rest of y'all ain't saying nothing. I'll say it. That's okay. A lot of people stay upset at me, and that's okay. I have learned, if I believe it's God, I don't care if it hair lips the world. Long as I believe it's God in my heart, and I try to make sure that what I'm saying or teaching or whatever is God. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Well, you got some people, they won't say, no, we don't want to offend nobody. Did you read the Bible? The Bible says Jesus did not come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. That in the last times that there would be a sword between the fathers and the sons and the mothers and the daughters and the mother-in-laws with the daughter-in-laws. Why? Because everybody is not for God. But God has chosen his people to minister the gospel. Why? Faith comes by hearing. You're not going to whoop it out of these people. You can't whoop a demon out of somebody. That's how come I tell Travis and him, you know, there's times you need to spank your kids. I know that goes right against Dr. Zeus, but hello, we have what the Bible says. Not Dr. Zeus or the rest of them. You know, nowadays we got so many kids on all kinds of different medications and therapy and all this stuff, and to the point where they don't even know if they're a boy or a girl. The therapy and the medication evidently ain't working. Why? Because God's way is what works. And I tell Travis and Beth, you know, that I did not realize this when Travis was growing up. I had to learn this. My thinking was, whatever you do, you get the far beat out of you for it, and that will change you. And that will as long as I'm around. But when I'm not, that's not what's going to change you. So there's times we need to pray for our kids. Why? Because they are just like us. I'm sorry, Aubrey, but I got to tell. She don't like it if we tell anything about her or whatever, you know. Well, I mean, who does? And Scotty just tells all of our business, you know, so I'm going to have to tell some more of our business, I guess, this morning. There's times that she's asked me before, Grandma, do you love Aiden more than you love me? And I say, why? No, I don't love Aiden any more than I love you. I love both of y'all the same. You know, I said, why you ask me something like that? Well, it just feels like it sometimes. What? Whoa. Listen. Feels. Who does that? Did God tell us to feel? Who wants us to feel? So I told her, I said, listen to me, baby. I said, that's the devil telling you that. That's what he does. He tells lies. She's just eight, you know. So we have to teach our kids these. Why? They're just like us. The devil lies to them. He does not discriminate. And he really likes to start as young as he possibly can with his lies. So I tell her, you know, that's the devil telling you that, baby. Grandma loves you. I said, listen to me. I said, have I ever hurt you? No. I said, have I hurt your feelings? No. I said, have I made you mad? No. I said, have I done something to you that would cause you to think that Grandma doesn't love you or that I don't love you as much? No. I said, then that ought to tell you that is the devil. I said, because Grandma loves you and Aiden the same. Now, why am I bringing that up? He does the same thing to you. I'm telling you right now, that wife of yours, he tells Scott, she don't love you. Look how rude she is to you. I had a rough week this week. I've not had a week this bad in a long time. A lot of different circumstances and things coming or whatever. And so, I rarely do I do this, but anyway, Scotty was standing over and I just walked up to him and I put my head on his shoulder, you know, and I'm just hugging him. I'm not saying nothing. And he goes, on my back, like stiff as a board. That's just why. He is probably the most least affectionate man you will ever meet. But anyway, so he's doing like this on my back, you know, and I'm just standing there. Well, then I go on, you know, and then later on I do it again. Why? I'm having one of the roughest weeks I've had in a long time. And I just feel, just hug me. Y'all ever feel like that? You ever feel like that, Monty? Come on now, you a man. You a real man. Now say it, Monty. Yes, he does. Everybody sometimes needs a hug. Well, anyway, later on that day, I'm still having a rough week, and he was standing somewhere, and I went up to him, you know, and I'm doing it again. He's so funny. And this time, excuse me, I actually felt a little better, and I told him, I said, listen, I said, sometimes I just need you to hug me. Tell me it's going to be okay, whatever. Just hug me, you know. And this is funny. And this, y'all will know this is me. He said, well, he said, the way you are, I never know what time it is to hug you and what time it's not. And I said, well, you never just come up and hug me. You do this, pull my ear, whatever. He does irritating things, and that's his. That's his affection. That's not my kind of affection. That's, you know, different stuff, you know. And I don't even remember now why I was telling y'all all of that. But anyway, I guess somebody, one of y'all needed to hear it, or all of you, or whatever. But sometimes people, they just need a hug, you know. And most of the time, I don't need that. Most of the time, I'm like, rah, rah, you know, I'm doing my thing. I don't need no hug. I don't need no nothing. So that's why he's like, I don't know when to do it and when to not. I said, when I tell you, do it. That's when I need you to do it. I remember now why I was saying that. Because, see, just like I said, the kids are just like us. There's times the devil tells him, she don't love me. In case y'all ain't noticed, I don't talk real sweet most of the time. April says it's my tone of voice, not necessarily what I say, but the tone of my voice or whatever. And y'all have noticed when Scotty gets up here and he's saying something that I said, he says it not the way I sound. I guess I sound like that to him, But that is not the way that I sound to me, you know. And tell him, if she loved you, she'd do this, you know. If she loved you, well, guess what? It's not his job to know whether I love him or not. It is his job to love me as Christ so loved the church, and that's the end of that. That's all that's his business. And if he'll do that, he'll be okay. And my job is to submit myself to my husband as unto the Lord. That I'm the Amplified Bible says I'm supposed to praise him. I don't know why it is, y'all guys. Now, y'all can think y'all don't or not. I've seen it in action through several different people. Pull up, got a bag, a trunk full of groceries. Y'all know where I'm going with this, don't you? Or something else or whatever, you know. Or say y'all built something, guys. Scotty's building on my playhouse right now, so. And Monty, thank y'all for going and helping him yesterday. But I mean, say you got a trunk load of groceries or something like that, you know, and he'll come in, you know, dragging a bag. He does not like anything to do with groceries. He don't go to the grocery store, except for himself. He runs over and gets a steak and tries to do it nearly every day. But anyway, other than that, he don't go to the grocery store. Here he comes, he's dragging some groceries in there, throws them in the door, and I say, whoo, look at them muscles. Huh, ain't that, ain't you tight, boy? Help us, Jesus. This is not going well, I thought. You know what happens to him? You right now, I'm the man of this house. I'm your man. You need something, I can get it done, girl. He sucks his belly in and pokes his chest out. No, oh, he's got 10 bags on each arm this time. Where you want them, mama? There's something about y'all guys. God made you that way. Why? It says in the Word, in the Amplified Bible, it says that I am to praise my husband. There's something about praise that men, it just, I don't know what it is, puffs y'all's head up. I don't know. Y'all need it. I don't feel I need that or whatever, but y'all do. And that's like Scotty last night before he went to bed. I made it a point because I'm not real good at this stuff. I'm not. That's like Sandy and her husband Robert. Robert is the most thoughtful man I have ever met in my life. Just thoughtful. I don't think about that stuff. I don't think praise you. I don't think venerate you or nothing, you know. I'm just, I don't know. I don't think that way. But I told him last night, I made it a point to, because I know what the Word says. You know, he's working. What I'm going to have is called G's Playhouse. The reason why it's G, I'm Grandma, and then Travis calls me G, so it's G's Playhouse. Is going to be my playhouse. And y'all get to come and play too later. When it gets warmed up again, because now you can't swim or nothing, you know, pool will be froze over. But anyway, so he's building on my, what I call G's Playhouse and all that. And so I made it a point last night when he come tell me goodnight or whatever. I told him, I said, thank you for helping to make my dream come true. See, I can be sweet, Johnny. I can do it. The Lord has to help me, but I can do it. See, if we do these little things that God says in His Word, not what Dr. Zeus or the therapist or the counselors, people can help you, but if you'll just go to the Word and seek God and serve God and do what He says, just like this. I read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. Every day. I think it starts 4 through 8 is where I read it, something like that. Anyway, every day I read that. And if every day you would read that and you would try your best to incorporate what that Word says into your marriage, you wouldn't have no problems. And guess what? Faith works by love. If you ain't got the love of God operating, your faith is not going to work right. It's all through the Bible, right? Over there in, what is it, Galatians 5:6 says faith works or is energized by love, by the love of God. Well, guess what? It takes faith for me and him to be married 38 years. Y'all have heard most of the stories, you know. I'm telling you. And the Word that it says God hates divorce, and if I love God, then I want to hate what God hates. I want to love. I know by the Spirit of God that He put me and Scotty together, and He says, let no man put asunder. So therefore, I may have to sleep in the garage. Y'all not saying nothing. Scotty has slept on the trailer before in his shop. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth, pastor in this church and all. Why? We're just like y'all are. Maybe y'all are a little better. But he has absolutely slept on the back of a 16-foot trailer in his shop up there. Why? Because we are ran like cats and dogs at the time, and he just don't want to be around me. But guess what? We all have thoughts. We all have feelings. We all can get hurt or offended or different things. But guess what? It's not his fault if I get offended. Y'all not saying nothing. See, the day and age we live in now, I got to be concerned, Johnny. And let me just say this. For the culture that we live in now and the stirring of the pot that is not reality anymore, but they're trying to make it, I don't know what will offend people of your color, Johnny, or Samantha. Y'all not saying nothing. See, this country is not as racist as what they portray it to be. I mean, now you see black men married to white women married to black men or Hispanic men or people of color or whatever, mixed with the white races. We had a black president. Oh, and that does right there away with all that stuff that they're being held down. Well, maybe you're held down because you're lazy. Y'all not saying nothing. Listen, in this country with God, you can be and do whatever he wants you to be and do. Can't nobody stop you. Your race can't stop you. Your creed for the other side of the tracks can't stop you. If you will trust God and follow God, he will raise you up no matter where you are. But they are stirring this stuff up to say that I'm against people of your color, Johnny, and I am not. I have never been a racist. Now, I was married to a racist for a lot of years. I have never been racist. But it's to the point now to where they did. Why do they do that? They just want to scream all the time. But y'all remember what the song said? Crown thy good with brotherhood. The Bible says that there is a commanded blessing on unity. What is that, Psalm 133, something like that? Anyway, it's in Psalm. Y'all can look it up. Well, see, guess what? Guess what they're trying to do to the church, and have done to a certain degree. Well, I'm a Baptist, now I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecostal, you know, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Catholic. Well, where is Jesus in all this? I thought you're supposed to be a Christian. And I understand different denominational names will tries to help people, you know, with what their creed is or what they believe in or whatever. Well, I believe the Bible. I thought we all supposed to believe the Bible. And I'm not telling you if your church has a Baptist owner. What is a Faithway Christian Center? I have no idea. Most people think it's an old folks' home. I'm serious. People that comes here and gets food on the giveaways, this is a church? We're like, well, yeah, we ain't got no steeple out there, and it don't say so-and-so association or whatever. Let me tell you something. God takes things and he hides them. Y'all remember Jesus? A lot of them had to have a revelation because they didn't know who he was. And they was the ones that was so versed in the scriptures and looking for his coming. But when he come, they couldn't even see him. And to this day, a lot of them still cannot. They do not believe that he's already come. God takes treasure and he hides it in fields. There's a scripture for that, right? That's just like me. Now see, because y'all know me, you know, y'all know I am a major blessing. Monty, why are you laughing? He said amen while he was laughing. I know, me and Monty, we have friction, this personality thing. You know, I'm gonna get him changed. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Monty, be who you are. But I am a blessing and have been a blessing to a lot of people. But then there's other people, all they see is this field. Y'all not saying nothing. And all they hear is the field. But how many knows the lady, she went and sold everything she had to buy that field because she knew there was a treasure in it. It's the same thing that God, he does that with everything. Just what I told you about Trump. You've got people today, they are voting personalities, which is the most stupidest thing I have ever heard. They don't care about the policies. They don't care about what's been done in the past or anything, what anybody's saying. It's just, if I like the way you look and your personality or not, that's going to get you to hell. But God takes treasure and he hides it in fields. That's just like this. He says, seek and you'll what? What if you don't seek? Why? because it's hidden to means of revelation. So I thank God that he's been hooking us up with the prophets, and he has been using us, you know, and revealing things to us that we've not been able to see before, because he knew that we would value it. So I'm gonna read this way. I wrote it right quick. Gosh, is that clock right? If it is, I'm already past time. There are those who have taken advantage of America's way of life. What I mean by that is America is a melting pot of people. All kinds of people. All different nationalities, all that stuff. And that's good. That is one of the things that has made America, America. But the enemy has taken advantage of that, and he's crept people in here that is not for America. They're not here to live in America. They don't want our ways. They don't want our values or anything else. But I wrote this down, crept in unaware, to most people to destroy America from within. But the prophet spoke that God would turn it around, and we will be great and prosperous again and spread this gospel of the kingdom of God all around the globe, just as we did in the beginning by God's grace and his leadership before. See, things are bad and things are going to get worse, but they're going to get good. And God is going to use the United States to preach the gospel all over the world in great number, to great masses of people again, to bring about the greatest revival that we have ever seen. Ain't that wonderful? I got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have any questions or anything they'd like to say, comments or anything, before we close? All right, we'll recess to 11.
Hey, I'm going to turn this off.